Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to another episode, the final regular season preseason preview episode of a Colts podcast presented by Sports Illustrated, the first ever Week 18 preview for the first ever Week 18 of the NFL season. My name's Brandon, and I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing pretty well. I'm excited to get onto this game, get the taste of that Raiders loss out of our minds, out of our mouths. Get ready for this game going into Week 18, where the Colts haven't beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville since 2014. Andrew Luck was the quarterback. Reggie Wayne was the wide receiver. Robert Mathis was the pass rusher the last time that the Colts won in Jacksonville. So the Colts are facing another win in their in situation, and they're very heavily favored, but it's going to take their best to beat Jacksonville on Sunday. And I'm excited to see what happens. How's your week, man?
My week's fine. My week's good. I can't get this Raiders loss off my head, out of my mind. I do have one thing on that I meant to say during the show. Meant to ask this question during the show. Why was Marcus Mariota on the field so much the other day? I kept meaning to bring that up, and it kept slipping my mind. Why did we see so much Marcus Mariota, and why did it work so well?
I mean, I think the Raiders have used him. I mean, he's basically the Jacoby Brissett of the Colts from last year. Use him in the short yardage situations, use him a lot of in the read options, and the Raiders have had success with Mariota back there.
That's fair. He looked good. You think he's a starting quarterback next year?
He certainly might get some looks. I wouldn't be surprised if he is in a quarterback competition somewhere if he's not still in Las Vegas.
All right. Colts are minus 1,000 at Jacksonville against the Jaguars, who are plus 650. The spread is 15 even. The over under 44 even. I don't know what's up with Vegas in these even spreads and over unders. Maybe it's their way of making money back on all these super boosts they lose money on sometimes, you know. But like you said, Andrew, win and we're in. Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. Frank Reich has never won in Jacksonville, which, you know, it's only been here since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's going to take a hell of a lot more energy and a hell of a lot more focus than we had against the Raiders. And I would hope to God that's going to be the attitude this weekend.
Yeah, I think it will be. And because I think the Colts knew that last week they didn't have a very good week of practice. They weren't dialed in. And this week they are. DeForest Buckner said today when speaking with the media that they know that their season is on the line. It's not just any game down in Jacksonville. And even though the Jacksonville Jaguars are 2-14, you can't take this team lightly. I mean, the Colts only beat the Jags by 6 earlier in the year at Lucas Oil Stadium. So the Colts know they need to be dialed in. They know they need to play their best ball, and they know they need to rebound from that performance against the Raiders. And honestly, when we look back on it, just depending on if the Colts do end up making a run or not, we could look back at this Raiders game and say, you know, this is what this team needed. This team needed a kick in the pants to realize you can't just mail it in. I don't care if you're on a run or not. You got to bring it every single Sunday. And the Colts realized that because they didn't bring it on Sunday. And the Raiders pretty much dominated that game. Even though they only won by 3 points, the Raiders outplayed the Colts in all three phases. So the Colts need to be ready, and I think they will be. The way that Frank Reich and Carson Wentz have talked about what they need to do on offense, DeForest Buckner already saying how they're dialed in and they're really focused this week in practice. It's good to see, and I think the Colts will come out with quite a bit of energy on Sunday, and I think they'll be ready to take it to the Jaguars once kickoff happens Sunday afternoon.
And I talked about this on our show Monday night, and then I saw somebody else bring it up today on Twitter. You know, I think the Colts were drinking their own Kool-Aid a little bit on Sunday. We're on Hard Knocks. The national media has given us some attention finally. And, you know, we were rolling. We that game against the Cardinals, I can't stop saying it. That victory was insane, and everybody was talking about it. And this could have been the wake up call. Like you said, down the road, we go, yeah, they needed that loss. I don't know if we're here in the Super Bowl, you know, without that loss. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's where we go. We're going to have a shitty road, to get there. We lost our opportunity kind of, you know, not that we still wouldn't have won the division, but we lost our chance to make the road as easy as possible. And we're going to have to go the rough route here for sure. But yeah, it's every once in a while you just need it, but it did have that feel to it, which is disappointing given, you know, all the talk we've done over the last 3 years, 2 years as an official show, about how Chris Ballard's trying to build the leadership and build the culture. And apparently big heads, it doesn't matter how great of a culture you build, it can still get you.
Well, those guys are still human at the end of the day. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's not surprising, but it's not out of the question that can happen. That could happen to anybody. I'm sure that's happened to even the greats like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Sometimes that they were a little overconfident going into certain games, but it's all about how they respond. If it happens again in Jacksonville, they very well could get beat and then be on the outside looking in and end up missing out on a playoffs when this team was getting hot. So that's why I think they just need to come in with more energy, be more focused. And so far, what I've been seeing and hearing this week, that's what this Colts team is already on track to do.
And when season's saying, you know, this game making them a little nervous, they need to be focused, but hopefully not too tired. I agree with those things. I'm nervous, but I mean, just watching this Jacksonville team play, it's just, unlike the Raiders overcoming the adversity of the John Gruden stuff, of the wide receiver, who was that?
Henry Ruggs.
You know, unlike that team overcoming this stuff, this whole Urban Meyer distraction seems to have only made the Jaguars worse. They're real bad. Houston handled them. We've handled Houston. You know what I mean? But again, it's a divisional game. You know, the Jaguars have nothing to lose. So we need to be on edge. We need to be ready. But I mean, if we come to take care of business, I cannot imagine us losing this football game.
Yeah. And I mean, what do I always say? Any team can win on any given Sunday. And I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars, yeah, they don't really have much to play for. And if they do lose, it locks up the number one pick. But, you know, the players don't give a damn about that. The players want to go out there and win. And wouldn't
they got to put stuff on tape?
Right. And the thing is, too, it's a division rival. The Jaguars, Jaguars would love to go out there and ruin the Colts' playoff hopes and kick them out of the playoffs. And that's what they're playing for. So it's not like they're just going to roll over and take the L. We're going to see them go out and play. Trevor Lawrence still wants to go out there and win and end the season on a high note and his pretty up and down rookie season on a higher note. So that's why it's not going to be as easy as a lot of people I've seen on the internet and on social media think, oh, the Colts are just going to roll. I mean, it's not a guarantee. And I'm happy to see that this Colts team isn't taking it that way.
I feel so bad for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, like, I was worried about having to hate this kid, you know, as it was, because like eventually we're going to have to dislike this kid because he is going to get it turned around. Hopefully, you know, not while he's with the Jaguars, he ends up somewhere far, far away. And then he turns it around with a coach that is not, you know, an idiot. But anyway, Andrew, we both know we got to win this football game. Mm-hmm. The question is, how are we going to win this football game? Where does it start?
Well, I mean, it starts, I think, with a better performance out of QB1, out of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, I mean, I just posted my Wednesday article this morning. And if you haven't checked that out yet, go see all the film clips. Carson Wentz wasn't his best on Sunday. I think we can all agree on that. He sailed a lot of balls high. He held the ball a little bit too long. He missed wide open receivers. He missed a T.Y. Hilton that was wide open. And Wentz admitted that he definitely had a lot of throws that he'd like to have back. And the offense wasn't on where it should be. And I think that's where it starts. Now, we don't need a 350-yard, four-touchdown performance out of Carson Wentz. And I don't think that will happen either, because while this Jacksonville team is only 2-14, if you look at their defensive statistics, they don't have a bad pass defense. And we saw right. that in the first game when the Colts played the Jaguars. Carson
the defense
Wentz,
is the strength of that football team.
Right. Carson Wentz in week 10, he went 22 of 34 for 180 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So he didn't have his best game against this Jacksonville team earlier in the season. Now, obviously, things can change.
he also didn't have his worst game.
He didn't have his worst game, no. But at the same time, you want to see more out of Carson Wentz. You'd like to see maybe around the 250-yard mark, maybe a couple touchdowns, no interceptions, a solid 110 quarterback rating. I think that would be a fantastic performance for Carson Wentz. And really, instead of I don't necessarily need to see Carson Wentz light the world on fire against the Jacksonville Jaguars, because the grand scheme of things, that's really not going to do much. What I really want to see is Carson Wentz start to get more confidence as we hit this, hopefully, if the Colts win, as we hit this playoff spurt here. Because when Carson Wentz is, you can just tell the difference in his play when he's a confident quarterback and we're starting to question things. And in the past couple weeks, starting around the New England mark, you've seen him start to question his protection a little bit, which is making him rush his throws. It's making him start to slip with his mechanics because he's leading off. He's putting all of his weight on his back foot, which is causing the balls to sail high. You see him try to rush those throws, and that's what's causing a lot of these misses for Carson Wentz that we didn't necessarily see towards the middle of the year. So that's what I really want to see, is I want to see a solid performance out of Carson Wentz. I want to see him start to be to stay calm in the pocket, fix those little mechanical issues that have been happening over the past couple weeks that I think will really help him step up his game. Just have a solid overall performance to really build his confidence as the Colts do go into the playoffs and face the best teams in the AFC, like the Kansas Cities, the Tennessees, Buffalo, New England, Cincinnati, whoever the Colts have to face. Just have so Carson Wentz doesn't have that thought in the back of his head that things can go wrong. You want him getting that confidence to try to play his best ball as we get to the most important games of the year.
Wentz season says that Carson does not excel in timing those crossing routes. He doesn't think this wide receiver group complements his strengths. We need to get him more vertical threats. I agree, and I disagree with this. I do think we need more vertical threats. I think we need more another dynamic wide receiver. I disagree on the timing. I think Carson Wentz's decision-making, along with the things you just mentioned, Andrew, getting antsy in the pocket, I think that's what's causing the issues here, because he's an NFL quarterback, and he's a top 10 NFL quarterback, probably somewhere around the 10 mark, depending on the week.
I think at his absolute best, he can be around 10 right now.
I do not think that he just is incapable of timing crossing routes. I think it's his feet, and I think it's his decision. I don't think he's making decisions at the right time. I don't think he's making them quick enough. And that's what's causing the problems with these routes.
Right. And something that I noticed, especially in this, and it's been happening for a couple weeks, but it was even more prevalent in the Raiders game, is he's just missing his checkdowns. I mean, it seems like the running backs in the passing game have just gone out the window. I mean, Jonathan Taylor caught a pass on Sunday. Jonathan Taylor, I think he has 36 or 37 catches this year.
Yeah.
His catch on Sunday was the first time he had caught a pass since the November 28th game against Tampa Bay. The running backs just aren't as involved in the passing offense the past month.
And it's there. Every time I see one of them leak out, it's there.
It's there. There was a screen to Jonathan Taylor where I think Carson Wentz bailed out of it early. He just threw it in the dirt. And there seemed to be room to run. And there was certainly room to run on the play where he threw it left-handed. If you look, I put this directly in the article, there's at least 10 yards of separation. There's no defender within 10 yards of Jonathan Taylor. The check down is there. And Wentz just doesn't look his way, doesn't throw it to him. Yeah. I think that's something that's one of the huge differences between this offense with Phillip Rivers last year and the offense with Carson Wentz, is Phillip Rivers always knew where his check down was and always got it to him at the right time.
Yep.
Carson Wentz he needs to know where that check down is, and he needs to utilize it more. I love how Carson Wentz always wants to be aggressive, always looks for the big play that helps make this Colts offense more explosive. But at the same time, got to pick your battles. You got to know when it's there and when it's not. And you got to recognize it quickly and get it to Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, two of the best in the league when they're in open space. I mean, I would trust either one of those guys to, again, death, taxes, Jonathan Taylor breaking one off. He can break one off in the passing game. Yep. So we can see that. And I think if Carson Wentz just kind of keeps that in the back of his mind as well, maybe starts going through that process. Again, I don't know if it's going to happen this year. That's something that's probably going to have to evolve over time. But yeah, I think that'll help not only bring his completion percentage and bring his efficiency up, it'll just help this Colts offense continue to move in the passing game.
And to break in here real quick, yeah, Von DeJong, go to the game. You only got one a year you can go to. Sure, it's always the Jaguars. Sure, they always lose. Sure, you've been there multiple times.
Hey, the Jacksonville crowd is supposed to be wearing a lot of clown costumes to protest their GM and the ownership firing the GM. So that'd be a pretty good time. Pretty fun atmosphere to be at if you're a Colts fan, at least.
Tim Milliken, I'd also like to see some more of the tight end, Kylan Granson. Now, Andrew, best way to set up a good passing game is to have a good running game. Okay. We talked about this last week. Not a lot of play action, which has been good for us in weeks prior to this past weekend. And at last time in week 10 against Jacksonville, JT was 116 yards and a touchdown. And honestly, I wish he threw the numbers for how many carries in here, because I'd be interested to see how many times he ran the ball, because it probably could have been more.
I think he had 20 to 21 carries, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, a decent amount for Jonathan Taylor. But yeah, absolutely. The Jaguars, when you look at the yards and the statistics for this Jaguars defense,
yeah,
the Jaguars' pass defense is pretty decent, and they can definitely give you trouble, but they have one of the worst run defenses in the league.
Which surprises me based on a couple of their defensive linemen, by the way.
They got some good defensive linemen, but it's more of those edge rushers and not as much in the middle. And again, death, taxes, Jonathan Taylor breaking one off. I'm loving that saying. I'm going to keep using it this week because I think Jonathan Taylor can have a monster game.
If you use that in an article, you better credit me. I'll find it.
Obviously.
And I said on air, trademark pending. So that makes it legal.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, Jonathan Taylor, I think the Colts could really use him to set up the pass. There's no reason that they need to put extra pressure on Carson Wentz this week to go out and really carry him this game.
Just open up more media criticism.
That's right. Jonathan Taylor can be used against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's going to be like it has been for the past month and a half to 2 months. The Jaguars are going to stack the box. They're going to focus in on Jonathan Taylor. But the thing is, you have Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Mark Lewinsky, Braden Smith, and Eric Fisher has a chance to play this week. All those guys back another week. They missed all practice last week because of COVID. And while late in the season you may say practice doesn't matter, practice does matter. And these guys probably still were dealing with some of the effects from COVID, whether they admit it or not. That's going to take them some time. Another week to get a little bit healthier, get their strength back, get their legs back under them. I think that's definitely going to help. But yes, use Jonathan Taylor to set up those play action passes, which the Colts did not use near enough against the Las Vegas Raiders. That's something that I've documented. The Colts have had a lot of success, and Carson Wentz in particular has had a lot of success with the play action fake this year and being able to get the ball down the field because so much of the defensive attention is on Jonathan Taylor. That needs to happen and needs to be utilized more. And I certainly think that can be the case on Sunday in Jacksonville.
I don't disagree with one season that the deep threat isn't Carson's strength. So in this situation, with how good Wentz is at selling the play action, mm-hmm. on top of his skill throwing the ball down the field again. Yeah. I don't understand why that was not more of the game plan on Sunday. I'm sure, you know, if the right reporters were in the room asking Frank Wright questions,
like your boy, Mike Wells.
Exactly. We need more people like Mike Wells in there asking questions, about COVID, and why Carson Wentz is a shitty leader. And then maybe, Greg Doyle, another one. I mean, bad teammate, Carson Wentz. I think we need more hard-hitting reporters like that in the room, and maybe sneak in an idiot one like you to ask this question, why did we not use play action as much this week? Is there something that you saw on tape? I'd love to know the answer, but we'll never get that.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I mean, Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, this week especially, have said, and these were they used the word dynamic. They want this offense to be more dynamic. And against the Raiders, I mean, you were there. You saw the play calls were very, very vanilla. It did. Yeah. There was hardly any play action. Something that was completely missing, RPOs. I don't think I saw a single RPO used.
One of Carson's best runs might have been off an RPO.
But exactly. One of his best runs is off RPO. The Colts didn't use hardly any RPOs on Sunday. And that's something that's become a staple this year when you have Carson Wentz. How many times have we talked about how great his ball handling has been on play action, on RPOs, things like that, where you kind of fake out the defense, get the defense to bring their attention. Bring the cameraman and the defense's attention to Jonathan Taylor, an MVP candidate. It opens things up, and it puts less attention on Carson Wentz. It gives opportunity for your 1,000-yard receiver, Michael Pittman Jr. Congrats to him, by the way. Your guy that can still get it done in T.Y. Hilton to make plays. And then maybe we even get Paris Campbell back, because Paris Campbell practiced last week and he's designated a return from IR. There is a chance Paris Campbell comes back this week as well. More dynamic means more RPOs, more play actions, more crossing routes, more setting things up for the deep ball. Just having an all-around offense and not being so vanilla, relying on run up the middle of Taylor, run up the middle of Taylor to settle for 3rd-and-7 where Carson Wentz has to drop back and try to sling it. Be more vanilla, be more dynamic, switch things up, and I think this Colts offense will get back on track how they were just a few short weeks ago.
I was going to say a thing. Oh, and Paris Campbell. Part of me was like, no, hold him off to the playoffs, but I keep thinking about the whole bye week thing. I keep thinking about how many times having the bye going into the playoffs screwed Peyton Manning. I think about how it was not great for Rodgers and company last year. I think about how it was not great for Rodgers and company after the year they won the Super Bowl. That was kind of the downfall of that little era. 3 weeks off, 2 weeks off, you know, Paris Campbell's had enough time off. Get him on the field, get him feeling something and getting in a groove so he can be ready to actually do some damage in the playoffs. Do you agree with this situation, specifically with Paris and just the bye week in general? How do you feel about sitting players the last week of the season?
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it just because I've seen how it can, well, it might get some guys healthy. It could definitely build some rust, especially late in the season. If you have some
momentum going into the playoffs.
Right. And the thing is, too, Paris Campbell's been out since he got injured week 6 against the Houston Texans back in October. He's had plenty of time off. If anything, I think he absolutely needs to play this game before the playoffs to help get his legs back underneath him because he hasn't played a game in almost 3 months. So, yes, I would love to see Paris Campbell be able to get out there on the field, and I'm not saying have him go out there and play 50 snaps or anything, but start to build him back up, get his legs underneath him, and get him back involved in the offense, because while it doesn't seem like Paris Campbell could stay on the field, he's still a great athlete, he still has blazing speed, and he could provide a vertical threat for this offense. And I think when fully healthy, there's no debate that Paris Campbell is a better wide receiver than an Ashton Doolin, and that's pretty much who he would take the place of.
And Paris Campbell needs to put some good football on tape right now, too. So he better be wanting to get out there because
next year's a contract year for Paris Campbell. And so far, he has played in 48 possible regular season games. He's played 14. He hasn't even played a full season yet.
All right. Defensively. I think one thing's been clear in multiple games this season, and it's no different to this Sunday. We got to pressure Trevor Lawrence. We got to get after the quarterback. Week 10, he was 16 for 35, 162 yards and sacked 3 times. We need to have a repeat of performance, if not better, this weekend.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence, we've said it, he hasn't had a great season, a great rookie year. I think he has 10 touchdowns to 17 interceptions. Hasn't been great down there in Jacksonville for Trevor Lawrence. And personally, I thought he was going to do a lot better. I thought he was going to be a guy that had maybe 20 touchdowns and about 12 interceptions. But in that environment and with that, with the teammates around him, he just hasn't been able to really shine and show his talents. But the thing about Trevor Lawrence is he still has that talent. He still is. Yeah. He still can take over a game. And that's why you need to get pressure on him, because when the Colts play Jacksonville in week 10, I mean, Kwity Paye got a sack. Dio Dagbo got the forced fumble to end the game. I think DeForest Buckner was in there, really pressuring Trevor Lawrence and making sure he doesn't get comfortable. That is going to be a huge help for this Colts defense in order to get him off his spot. Make sure he doesn't connect with his wide receivers down the field. I think we're going to have a fully healthy James Robinson this time around against the Colts. And James Robinson, he was in the barn and in the doghouse when Urban Meyer was there. Urban Meyer's gone now. James Robinson has retaken over that starting role. And James Robinson is certainly no slouch at the running back position. So that's something that the Colts need to do, though, is really get that pressure on Trevor Lawrence. Again, it's kind of the same thing we talked about when we faced Mac Jones. These rookie quarterbacks, you really need to give them pressure. Confuse them on defense. You're going to see this Colts defense show one look pre-snap and go into a completely different look post-snap. That's pretty much what Matt Eberflus and this defense have done when they face the rookie quarterbacks this year. And then it's all going to be about Kwity Paye, who's been coming on and getting a lot more pressures. DeForest Buckner, who had a sack last week. Maybe we'll see another Dio Dangbo performance getting after Trevor Lawrence. Kamoko Touré has actually been coming on and getting more pressure in his limited amount of snaps on the field. That's going to be key. It's going to be winning the battle up front, controlling the line of scrimmage, and making sure that Trevor Lawrence never gets comfortable. And I think you're going to see this Colts defense really make some plays on the ball and can force Lawrence into some turnovers.
You see this last comment? Did Robinson tear his ACL or Achilles? Or is that Allen? Do they have Allen Robinson too?
No, Allen Robinson's on the Bears. I might have missed an injury. And if he, let's see here.
Maybe if Stats Matt had been on time, we'd have been prepared, you know?
Well, now he's here. He was just late to the party. But yeah, let me check on that. Because if so, then it's Carlos Hyde.
That's what one season saying here.
Definitely takes away some of the running game for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So that's great news. While you look at that, Andrew, why don't we go ahead and talk about the X factors? You always like to go player for reasons that can remain between you and I. But I like to go sometimes a little philosophy. And the leadership of this Colts football team is going to be my X factor. They're the ones, you know, between coaching and the player leaders on this team, they're the ones that are going to keep this team focused this weekend, which shouldn't be too hard. I mean, you're in an in and win situation. Not that you weren't last weekend, but shouldn't be too hard, but it needs to be done. Leadership of this team is the X factor for me.
Yeah, and credit to Wentz season. James Robinson did tear his Achilles
three weeks ago.
Against the Jets. So that's on us. That's on us. Hey. That could be on me.
Okay. Well, you shit about James Robinson.
Yeah, but you didn't stop me. Hey, it happened while I had the Rona.
Listen, so I don't tend to pay attention to the Jaguars and what they're doing. Hey, unless fair. Urban Meyer's on the news.
That's fair. My X factor is it's going to be the MVP. It's going to be Jonathan Taylor. Because I think that do the Colts need to have him to have a big game and ride his coattails, but I think that what is involved in that as well is Jonathan Taylor really opening things up for the passing game and really being able to take that pressure off of Carson Wentz and take the attention off in those RPOs, in the play action game. If Jonathan Taylor gets rolling, then you're going to see all of those things open up and be more effective because the defense is just going to put as much attention on Jonathan Taylor as they can. And it's going to open things up for the passing game. So Jonathan Taylor's my X factor this week.
Predictions. As the wonderful Michelle Jones Watson, but she doesn't go by Watson, says, expect disappointment and you'll never be disappointed. I want to be a jokester and pick the Colts to lose this game just because then it'll lift us into the playoffs because they'll have to prove me wrong. That'd be fun. But I got to go Colts by a million.
Wouldn't be any other way.
How couldn't I go? I mean, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think I'd have to really look, but I feel like the majority of the games Franks had to play in Jacksonville have come early in the season, definitely last year. So we can blame the heat. We can blame the Phil Rivers situation. You know, we've had a lot of excuses. We don't have any good excuses this year. Carson's played pretty much the whole season. I mean, we got nothing to stand on here. Excuse me. Goodness. So, Colts by a million.
I think the Colts will handle it this week and handle it pretty well. I just this vibe that I'm getting from the team is so much different as Tyler goes Jags 50 Colts 3. Yeah,
thanks, somebody's buddy. Still a little butthurt about shitty Tua.
Yeah, how those Dolphins doing, bud? Anyways, I think the Colts will handle their business. I'm gonna go Colts 38. Jaguars 13. I think this Colts offense is really going to be locked in. I would not be surprised if we see Jonathan Taylor go for 150 and two TDs. I could see Carson Wentz getting a couple touchdowns. I really think this Colts team wants to rebound and wants to refocus and make sure they take care of business in Jacksonville, so there is no doubt in their mind that they're going to make it on into the playoffs. So I'm going to go Colts 38, Jaguars 13, and that would mean that the over hits as well.
I don't know how many points we're going to score, but I'm predicting a shutout this week.
Oh, another shutout?
I think shutout number two in a year. Both against divisional opponents, correct?
Yeah.
Wasn't it against the Titans at Houston? Yeah.
Stats Matt, stats Matt saying that Taylor goes for 186 and three TDs. Man, wouldn't that make him over 2,000 for the year if he does that?
No, he needs 270.
Okay. Okay.
270 or something like that. 260. Andrew would have seen me throw that stat up on the screen if he didn't stare at himself the whole time he's talking. That's a thing he's admitted. So,
well, I got to make sure it looks like I'm looking directly into the camera.
I definitely put it up there already. Listen, Jonathan Taylor does that. Maybe he squeaks in the MVP, but I'm pretty sure Mr. Aaron Rodgers has just stolen it away. It's gone.
I think Aaron Rodgers has that, but I think offensive player of the year, Jonathan Taylor. Denver
Cooper Cup.
I think Jonathan Taylor's got a good lock on that.
Taylor had 253 against them a game last season.
At the last game of the year, yeah.
266 he needs. Damn, that would be something. That would be something. Darius could get two turnovers. I'd love to see that. That put him at 14, I believe. F it. Do it live. Why not? All right. Other Colts news. Injuries. Andrew, what's the injury report looking like?
Injury report a little bit longer this week, but a lot of guys were full participants, even though they're dealing with some things. Full participants. Eric Fisher is back and practiced in full. Michael Pittman Jr. with ribs, George Odom with a calf, Mo Alie-Cox with a knee. All of those guys were full participants today. Nothing to worry about there. Andrew Sandejo also making his way back from the concussion protocol. He was limited today. And then there were four guys that didn't practice. So Forrest Buckner with a knee. I'm thinking that's more on the rest side of things. Nothing really to be too crazy worried about. Chris Reed was held out with an illness. Xavier Rhodes with the hamstring. He didn't practice. He's listed as day-to-day, according to Frank Reich. And then EJ Speed didn't practice with a little bit of a hip injury today. So really the guys to watch, obviously DeForest Buckner, like I said, I don't think it's anything serious, but you still want to keep an eye on it just to make sure. And then Xavier Rhodes with the hamstring, he'll be in question to miss the game on Sunday. But I think the Colts like their chances, even if he does miss the game, that Isaiah Rodgers can step in and play pretty well, as he's done for weeks now.
We missed a key prediction from Tim Milliken. He predicts five beer guzzling heavy set dudes and two bikini models in the stadium swimming pool. and I respect the hell out of that. That's a great pick. Andrew, real quick too, because I will forget when we go into the NFL news. Adam Schefter is fearing a torn ACL after his gritty on the field. not too long ago. That's live. That's breaking news. Shefty, possible torn ACL. Hate to see it.
T's and P's for Adam Schefter.
Any other Colts news today, Andrew? Why don't I do my job? How about that? The Colts released linebacker Malik Jefferson, who was a backup linebacker.
Yeah, he was brought off the practice squad. I mean, just kind of shows that the Colts are getting pretty healthy at linebacker. One thing I didn't put, or if you noticed that wasn't in there, there's no COVID-19 list for the Colts. Luke Rhodes Luke Rhodes came off the list today, so there are currently no Colts on the COVID-19 list. Let's get a round of applause for that. Getting healthy at the right time.
You'd like to see it. Love to see it. All right, Andrew, let's go into week 17, final game. I realized that this was Big Ben's last game at Heinz, I probably would have picked the Steelers. I did not. And the Steelers won 26-14, and I lost my fantasy championship. RIP to me. Nick Chubb was underused on purpose, by the way. So I'm fuming hot about that. And also that receiver decided to have one hell of a football game out of the blue. So thanks a lot to Big Ben for ruining my fantasy championship.
Well, hey, in our fantasy championship going up against one another, Chris
also getting my ass kicked in that one.
The Boz going off for a good 16 points for me. So now I'm up by 30 as we head into the final week of the season. You better bring your A game, brother.
Yeah, I did not update that lineup last week. That was a problem. Pick'em standings, though, I have the lead in that, 161-94 to your 160-95. Still a game ahead. And I'm just going to do my best to make sure I pick every single game the same as you this week, and I'm going to take home a victory.
Well, good thing I don't always pick first. So
I'll tell you
we're going to go back and forth.
I was going to say, we will fairly go every other on this one. You can choose if you go first or I go first, but we got Chiefs versus Bengals first thing.
I think this one's pretty simple, so I'll go first here. I'm going with the Chiefs. The Broncos, you said Chiefs versus Bengals, it's Chiefs versus Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater ruled out for the year, went on IR today, but Drew Lock has not looked good for the Broncos since taking over. And I think the Chiefs, well, they're still trying to get that number one seed. If the Titans somehow lose, the Chiefs can get that number one seed. I think the Chiefs will dominate the Broncos on Saturday.
Where are we going to end up? Are we going to be 7 seed?
Well, hopefully not 8th seed. We wouldn't be in the playoffs if the Colts win.
I had to count.
It depends on the result of the Chargers Raiders game. If the Colts win, and if the Colts win and the Chargers win, Colts will be the 6th seed. If the Colts win and the Raiders win, Colts will be the 7th seed. So we're hoping for a Chargers victory on Sunday night.
Bengals aren't playing starters, by the way. That's going to hurt my parlay for sure. Chiefs versus Broncos. I'm also with you, Andrew. I'm going Chiefs. Cowboys versus Eagles. A tale as old as time. Are the Eagles playing their starters? Can I get an answer on that? Are the Eagles playing their starters? Why wouldn't they?
As far as I know, they are.
So I'm going Eagles against the Dallas Cowboys. I am liking the Eagles right now. Nick Sirianni's got himself a team. I don't understand why. He's got the best running back, you know, taking snaps in the league as well. So who knows what they could do.
Here's our first one where we differ. I'm going Cowboys. I believe in Dak Prescott to bounce back. But I think the big difference maker in this is I think Micah Parsons, which I think he went on the COVID list today or something. So there's a chance Micah Parsons might not play. But if he does play, I think Micah Parsons is really going to be looking to go after Jalen Hurts. So I am going, I'm going Cowboys. Well, as Stats Matt says, Dallas is resting their starters. But hey, I gotta make a game somewhere. I'm going Dallas. Cooper All Rush right. for the dub.
Bungles versus Browns. Browns are favored.
Browns are favored because Joey Burrow is sitting this one out. I'm gonna go Browns. There's Baker Mayfield talked about maybe missing this game and opting for surgery. But I still think that he plays. I think that
labor recovery is a long one.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to go Browns just because Joe Burrow isn't playing, and I think the Bengals will sit some other guys as well.
I'm going Bengals on this one. Cool Joe Burrow's going to be cool on the sideline and just quarterback coaching that team to a victory. Bengals are real good. At this point, I don't care who's on the field. The Browns are not good at this point. They're so injured. And yeah, I'm going to go Bengals.
No Joe Burrow and no Joe Mixon. You're going Bengals.
That is right. I'm going Bengals. I already bet on him. So Baker is out.
Is Baker out? Well, that's not good.
Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be making these picks. I need to get back to my. I need to pull this up. Just looking at the outline.
Yeah, Baker's not playing.
I don't care. I don't care if Jordan Love plays every snap. I'm still going Packers against the Lions this weekend.
I'm going Packers as well. The Lions, I don't even know if Jared Goff's going to play. Lions just don't seem inspired anymore, and I think they're just ready for the season to be over. I'm going Packers.
Bears at Vikings.
Bears at Vikings. I think Kirk Cousins is back for this game. Justin Fields is starting for the Bears. I'm going Vikings.
Oh, that's a good point. Baker being out could be a good thing for Andrews. Case Keenum playing? That's a problem. Ooh. I'm not so confident. Listen, I was in the sauna today with a guy in all Bears gear, and I almost couldn't resist the urge to look at that man and say, hey, man, that team sucks, huh? So I'm going Vikings. It was a sign. Washington football team at the New York Giants. The Giants stink. I will not pick them this year. That's not happening. Washington football team.
I think Washington does get the victory.
Washington soon to have a team name.
Football exactly. Team. Exactly. Here in about a month. But yeah, Washington football team. I think Taylor Heinicke will get the win, and maybe what is his last start as the Washington quarterback. But yeah, Giants are a dumpster fire. I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Judge is fired and looking for a job on Monday.
Oh yeah. We both picked the Colts at the Jaguars. Andrew, who do you like in this Pittsburgh and Ravens game?
Man, this is tough because I mean, Tyler Huntley, I think, will probably play. I don't expect Lamar Jackson to play. But, I mean, the Steelers didn't look, Big Ben especially, did not look great. You know what? I'm going to go Steelers because I think TJ Watt is going to try to tee off and try to get that sack record against Tyler Huntley. And I think the Steelers defense will really try to step it up. So I'll go Steelers.
I also like the Steelers. The Ravens just seem to be, and I know Lamar's been out. I don't care. They're not looking good. Just the time when I was like giving up on the Ravens, they had this comeback surge when they beat us and then it died out again. So, yeah, Titans at Texans seems pretty simple to me. Titans.
Yeah. Titans are probably going to roll over the Texans just like the Colts did. Really don't expect this one to be a close one. Titans will probably wrap up the number one seed.
And who to thunk it, Andrew, the Saints are playing the Falcons, and I believe they're in a win and in situation, or maybe they need a little extra help. I'm not sure. But it sounds like the Saints are going to make the playoffs if they win this football game. I like the Saints.
I'm going Saints because you know damn well I'm not picking the Falcons, especially with the pick'em standings on the line. The Falcons curse will not get me this week. I'm going Now watch, I'll pick the Saints, and Taysom Hill will do the same exact thing that he did to me on my like $1,200 parlay and just lay an absolute egg. But I'll give you one more chance, Taysom Hill. I'll go Saints.
Jets at Bills. We're both picking the Bills. Let's not be ridiculous here, which means you get to pick 49ers at Rams first. This is a shitty decision to have.
I think it's actually not too difficult. I'm going Los Angeles Rams because Jimmy G is coming off that injury. So even if he plays, Trey Lance did look better at towards the end of the game last week, but the Rams are a different animal. It's a lot different when you have Aaron Donald right in your face. I'm going to go with the Rams at home.
I like the Rams as well. Oh my God. There's so many games this damn last couple weeks of the season. Patriots at Dolphins. I'm with the Patriots.
Yeah, I think a good score would be Patriots 50, Dolphins 3. Is that right, Tyler? gonna go. Yeah, I think the Patriots will handle it because the Patriots, again, they're still fighting for the division against the Buffalo Bills. They need to win this game.
Seahawks at Cardinals, Andrew.
Going Cardinals. Seahawks had a good game last week, again, but it was against the Lions, and the Cardinals are still fighting to try to get as good of a seed as they can in the NFC playoffs. Cardinals will be doing everything they can on Sunday.
I'm with you. The Cardinals should be the winners of that football games. Stats Matt says, give me the Dolphins. You can have them. I'd like to see your bet slip on that one, bud. Panthers at Bucks. Yeah. I mean, I don't care. I don't care if Mike Evans goes out. I don't care if all of the second string, like the whole line of receivers who they got right now go out. Tom Brady's not losing to the Panthers with no matter what. Now, they are not going to go far in the playoffs with their current wide receiver situation, I don't think. They're definitely not getting through Green Bay. But, yeah, they're not going to lose to the Panthers.
No, Panthers are in full-out tank mode at this point. And you know what? Matt Rhule might not have a job either come Monday. We'll have to see. But I'm going to go
back. I saw a report, or maybe somebody said it. Maybe somebody commented on the show last week. Matt Rhule is embarrassed by the deal he gave. I'm sorry. The owner is embarrassed by the deal he gave Matt Rhule.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, Chargers at Raiders. I like the Chargers.
I'm going to go with Justin Herbert as well. I'm not betting against this kid. I've said numerous times how much I think he is a special quarterback. And I think in these winner-take-all games, it's going to be the quarterback that plays the best. And we've seen Derek Carr choke it before. I think this is what Justin Herbert's made for. I'm going to go Chargers to win on the road on Sunday night.
All right.
What's your score for Chiefs Broncos?
34-10.
I'm going to go 31-13.
27-24, Chargers, Raiders.
I'm going to go 27-20, Chargers.
Most points, Bills?
Bills over the Jets.
Or Colts?
I'm going to go Titans. I'm going to go Titans over the Texans. No, actually, I like the Bills. I like the Bills.
Okay. All right. This is great radio.
Least points? Texans. No. Jaguars.
Texans. Ooh, Jags. Zero. I mean, how can he be? That's true. I said zero. So here we go. Zero. Can't beat that. All right. News around the league. Washington football team announces they will be revealing a new team name on February 2nd. Any guesses? Put your best guesses about the Washington football team's new name. Be nice. In the chat. What if they just come back out and say, we are the Washington R words and say, you know what I'm just.
Oh, man.
That would be the greatest upset of all time.
I heard that it's not going to be Wolves or Red Wolves, and I really like those two names, so that would have been cool. I've seen Washington Generals. I've seen Washington Commanders. I've seen Admirals. I've seen the Red Hogs, kind of going back
to the Red Hogs.
Because they had the hog costumes when they were the Redskins, so that kind of is an homage to their tradition. But the corruptions. Those are some of the names that I've heard. I would out of those, I would probably like the Red Hogs. just like a nasty.
I hate the Red Hogs.
Talking about those hogs.
A dog erection. Period.
Those hogs in the middle of the offensive line, just build up a beefy offensive defensive line. That'd be a scary.
You cannot make hogs a name in the NFL. You can't do it.
Awesome. That is awesome.
It would bomb so bad.
What do you like then of those names? Admirals, Commanders.
They're generals. All pretty bad.
Yeah.
The Generals, I feel like, is the most sportsy. I think the Admirals stink.
Red Hawks, Red Tails. I've heard.
I feel like they're going to get away from Red.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Just call them. I don't know.
I'm just excited to stop calling them the Washington football team.
Did Matt miss the show? Other news, Jags fans planning on protesting by wearing clown nose.
He joined late. He joined late. Yeah, well, he's probably bowling.
He's probably, yeah, Matt's bowling right now. Quit texting in between frames there, Matt. NFL's exploring possible alternate sites for Super Bowl 61.
Brandon cannot read Roman
61.
numerals.
61.
It's not 61.
59.
It's 56.
Amid rise in COVID-19 cases and extended mandates in California. That would stink.
Yeah, the Super Bowl is supposed to be at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. No, he was at his bass fishing club. Anyways, but no, the Super Bowl is supposed to be in Los Angeles, but since the COVID cases are rising, California has extended a lot of their COVID mandates through past the Super Bowl, just in case things do get worse. Then the California shuts things down. The NFL has been in talks with the Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas, at AT&T Stadium there.
Just makes too much sense to bring it to Indiana
to possibly host the Super Bowl. I'd love it to be at Lucas Oil Stadium, but I mean, the Cowboys Stadium actually hasn't hosted a Super Bowl since 2011, the year before Indy did, and you could fit 100,000 people in AT&T Stadium. I would love to go to the Cowboys Stadium one day just to see the massiveness and the behemoth of that stadium. It's
away game.
Huge.
Next away game.
Well, they play the Cowboys next year, and we're both getting married, so I don't know if we can go to an away game next year.
Yikes. That's true. All right, now it's time for. Oh no! Oh, I do. Bad news for me, Brandon. I need to pull my bets up. This is the best. Forgot to prepare. Oh, here we go. All right. So, of course, for the last crazy parlay of the year, that is not going to win. I got the Kansas City Chiefs at minus 490. I got the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 230. I got the Colts at minus 1,000. Every game's in this one today, Andrew. Sorry. Tennessee Titans minus 525. Cincinnati Bengals plus 195. Pittsburgh Steelers plus 185. Green Bay Packers minus 180. Minnesota Vikings minus 195. The Washington football team minus 320. Buffalo Bills minus 1250. Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 380, LA Rams minus 210, Patriots minus 260, Cardinals minus 290, New Orleans Saints minus 220.
I can't hear you, Brandon, if you're talking to me. Technical difficulties to end the show. Well, hey, it's just me here. So I think that's the show. Brandon's having some technical difficulties. But, hey, you could always go follow us at a Colts podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Big game this week here in Jacksonville. Colts definitely need to step it up, definitely need to bring a more focused attitude to the Colts as Brandon comes back.
Hey, he's back.
I was just ending the show. I was doing
a better comeback than Andrew had. All right, so this can't lose parlay, which is just ridiculous. $5. It's at plus a lot to win $5,988.14. I have no idea what happened. I was playing with the thing, and then I... lost the thing. What were you saying? Where are we at here?
I was ending the show. I already told him to go follow us at a Colts podcast.
That's a good place to follow us.
I was talking about how big game on Sunday. Colts need to be focused, and hopefully we come out with the dub and move on to the playoffs.
Hey, Andrew, what should the fans do if they come across someone who loves podcasts and they love the Colts?
I think that you should tell them to listen to a Colts podcast.
Hey. Go listen to a Colts podcast. I just realized right now that although our stream right now completely lost me, the podcast did not. So congratulations to you guys getting to hear me panic. I don't even remember what I said at that point. Hell, the podcast lost us. That's great. That's great.
We'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. All right, Andrew, that is it. We need to get out of here so I can fix that. You know, I'm just going to hit record again. Let's just do that. Welcome back, podcast listeners, as well. We had some technical difficulties, but we're out of here. See you guys on Sunday. Go Colts.
Go Colts.
What a show. Thanks for listening. We're an embarrassment to internet shows. See you guys.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.